chapter number one. It's good to see all of you visitors here. Listen, I appreciate you visitors. And if you didn't get a visitor's card, we'd like to get you to fill one out before you leave today. That'd be a blessing. So if you didn't get one, raise your hand. If you're a visitor and you didn't get a visitor's card, raise your hand. If you did get a visitor's card, here's what, Brother Gary, come here real quick. Real quick, come on. There's a fellow right back there. His name's Mr. Brown, right on the right-hand side. Listen, if you get that visitor's card, if you just fill it out, leave it laying in the seat, and we'll be honored to record your visit. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you've got your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, say amen. Amen. I'll wait on the rest of you. Second Timothy chapter number 1. All right. 2 Timothy 1 in verse chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray, God, you'd take your word. I pray, God, you'd help us. I pray if there be anybody here on the sound of my voice that's lost, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I pray that you'd show them today that they need the Savior, Jesus Christ. They need him in their life to save them from their sins. God, I pray if there be some Christians that maybe they're weary, maybe they're discouraged. God, maybe you lift them up, breathe some life into them, and God, encourage them and revive them today. God, help us today from your word and by your spirit. Do the work for us that only you can do, and we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing, and he is encouraging his son in the faith, Timothy. He talks about there in verse number 2, his beloved son. He's talking about not a physical son, but a son in the faith whom he trained and raised and in the faith and taught him the word of God and helped him in the ministry. And here he is, Paul, writing to encourage Timothy in a time of spiritual decline, a time of spiritual apostasy, if you will. He'd already wrote and told him how men were going to part from the faith. He's talked about how times is going to wax worse and worse. Evildoers, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. He's talking about not only spiritual decline, but a moral decline. He's talking about a time when Paul's encouraging him in spite of questions that are going to be raised against Timothy and Timothy's life. Many questioned his ministry. They questioned his authority because he was a young man. They questioned whether he was a man of God. Can I say, there's a lot of people that I always question God's men. And Paul's writing to encouraging his son of faith in time of questioning, in time of even persecution, in time of the afflictions that he's facing, in times of uncertainties, he's telling Timothy, his son in the faith, Timothy, sometimes you just got to go with what you know. And I want to preach this morning on some things that I know and I'm not letting go. Some things I know and I'm not letting go. You know, there are many things in this life, and I'm going to be honest with you this morning, there's many things, Brother Gary, that I do not know. There's many things that I do not understand. There's a lot of, listen, can I say politically, when I watch the political news, most of the time when I watch it, it's just so I can hear a little bit of what's going on. Because I'm being honest with you, listen, if you can understand the political jargon and all the talk that you're doing a whole lot, I don't know if I'm saying you're better than me or worse than me, but I don't understand a lot of that stuff. I don't see how two men can talk out of both sides of their mouth and mean the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I just didn't figure out a lot of the politics of this world. When it comes to politics, I'm lost. All right? Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I'm just getting with the guy that says he's conservative, and I'm going to trust him and do the best I can, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the time, that's what I do because I don't understand when it comes to politics. Listen, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. Can I say this? When it comes to a lot of physical things, there's a lot of physical things that I don't understand. I just don't understand. I ain't never understood why that little earlobe on the bottom of my ear is there. Y'all understand that? I've never understood, Brother Wayne, why that thing. And here's something else I don't understand. I don't understand that as long as I live, they tell me my ears and my nose is going to keep growing. I don't understand. I mean, God's got a reason. I don't understand it. I don't understand. What is it, an appendix? They say an appendix. They hadn't figured out what an appendix is for. Or your tonsils and your adenoids. I don't understand all the things of physical science. Listen, here's something I don't understand. I don't understand how they can say there's no gravity in outer space, but the flag's flying when we see pictures of the flag on the moon. Hello, Tokyo. I'm just saying, there's some things in this life that simply I don't get. I don't understand. If you can understand it and you can explain it to me, we'll talk later. But there's a lot of things that I don't understand. Listen, there are some things biblically that I don't understand. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some things in the Bible I don't understand. Y'all all right with that? Hey, are y'all all right with that? Hey, when it comes to a lot of the things, the prophecies and things that are prophesied, listen, I think I got a good idea. I think I got a good idea that I can understand some of it, but there are some things that I just got to tell you. Hey, the best is yet to come, and when we get to heaven, we'll know all about it, and we'll understand it better by and by, amen. Listen, I know there's some people that thinks they got it all wrapped up, and they think they know everything, but I got news for them. They ain't got it all figured out either. And I'm just being honest with you and telling you when it comes to the Bible. Listen, I think the main things, hey, we've got a good hold on, but there are some things in the Bible that I don't understand. Y'all all right? I mean, I could go into specifics, but I don't want to confuse some of you. But I'm just being honest. There's some things when you say, somebody come up to me this morning and say, preacher, can you explain this? I didn't have a hard time. That wasn't too awful hard to understand once I read it and thought about it. But there's some things in there that I'm still scratching my head about. But thank God there's a lot of things in there that I do know all about, amen. Amen. And the things that I know, I'm not going to let them keep me from the things that I don't know, amen. I'm going to enjoy the things that I do know. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of things in life. There's things about my family I don't understand. There's things about things in my family, people in my family, the way they act and the way they do. And there's things in my family that I don't understand. Are y'all all right? There's things about financial things that I don't understand. When it comes to like 401ks and life insurances and investing money, listen, I am not the best advisor on that. Are y'all with me on that? I hadn't lost a lot of money in it because I ain't put a lot of money in it because I ain't never had a lot of money. Y'all all right? But if I had a lot of money, I wouldn't know what to do with it except just keep it in my pocket. No, as long as I got in my pocket, it ain't going away. Y'all all right? Listen, I'm just simply saying, when it comes to watching the S&P 500 and the index and all that, hey, listen, go talk to Larry Burkett. I'm not your man. I simply don't understand some things about finances. Are y'all with me? Here's something I don't understand, kids. Here, y'all understand this from me. Listen, I get 2 + 2 = 4, but I ain't never got 2x² = 17. Y'all all right? I ain't never understood the Pythagorean theory or whatever all those theories. Listen, I was all right. When math was numbers, I was all right. But I remember when I got into like pre-algebra and geometry, I ain't never figured out how you can add letters to numbers. Y'all all right? I don't call that math. I call that science fiction or something. Listen, I don't understand it. There's a lot of things in life. Listen, when it comes to the future, I don't understand everything. Listen, I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that the Bible says there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound, and there's going to be a call. I'm coming out, and one day I'm leaving out of here because I'm saved and bought by the blood, and Jesus Christ is going to save me. He's already saved me from the wrath to come, and one day he's going to call me out. Listen, I understand that one day, and we don't know when, he's going to call his church out of here, and I understand that somewhere in the midst of that, there's going to be a signing of a peace treaty with the Antichrist in Israel. And through all that, hey, and after that takes place, the great tribulation is going to be up on this earth, and there's going to be a tribulation period for 7 years. And after 7 years, Jesus Christ is literally coming back from heaven to earth, and we're going to be riding white horses. I don't understand how we're going to ride white horses over the clouds and come down through the Milky Way and come on down and go past the sun, the milk, the planets, the stars, and come back down to planet earth, down to Jerusalem on white horses, and everybody in the world is going to be able to see it. I don't understand all that, but I believe it, amen. Hey, I'm just simply saying, there's Brother Robbie, there's some things in life that I don't know. Hey, I'm being honest with you. I don't know some things. Y'all with me? Is there anything you don't know? I know some of y'all know everything, but I'm just being honest with you. That your preacher this morning, there's some things that I don't know. Listen, I don't want to get into all the political things, but there's a lot of things in the news today that I don't understand and I don't know. Let me just be honest with you. I don't know how OJ ain't clearly guilty. Are y'all with me? I'm just being honest. I ain't trying to stir up too much trash, but just use your mind. But then this fella Zimmerman, everybody wants to hang him. There's just some things that simply I don't know and I don't understand. I'm just being honest with you. But I thank God that in the midst of a world in which it seems like the morals are on a decline, it seems like religion and spirituality is on a decline. Ah, there may be churches popping up everywhere, but they ain't churches, they're clubs. Amen. Bunch of charismatic, non-denominational, such and such worship center. Look up in here. Jesus died for his church. Jesus bought the church. Amen. And I thank God I belong to the church. Amen. I thank God for the local church. I thank God for New Hope Baptist Church. Amen. We're not the only one, but we're a pretty good one. Amen. I thank God for New Hope Baptist Church. Listen, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. We're in a time of decline. We're in a time of apostasy. We're in a time of a lot of questioning, and people are bringing up. But I thank God there's a few things I do know. And can I say the things that I know them real good, and I ain't willing to let go of them. I'm just going to share a few things that I know about this morning. I want to encourage you that if you know these things, hey, it's no time to let them go. Hey, listen, in life, let me just say, sometimes you're going to get discouraged. Sometimes you're going to go through those clouds of doubt. Sometimes you're going to go through those nights that it seems like the sun's not coming up in the morning. Sometimes you're going to go through the fire. Can I say, in the midst of those storms, in the midst of those trials, listen, that's not when you dwell on the things you don't know, but that's when you glean the things that you do know, and you say, I don't know everything, but I'm holding on to what I do know, amen, and what I do know is going to get me through. And I'm going to just encourage you, some of you. There's a lot of people that when they get discouraged, they start questioning the things that they don't know about. Can I say there's enough things that you do know that if you concentrate and you focus on what you do know and forget about the things that you don't know, hey, it'll help you along as you go, amen. Sometimes you just got to go with what you know. Sometimes you've got to go with what you know. And so I'm going to say I'm going to go with what I know on this. I know, number one, I know something about my salvation. I know something about my salvation. You all right? Salvation. Watch what Paul said in verse number 10. He said, but now is made manifest. He's talking about Jesus. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. Watch this. Who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Watch verse 12. For the which cause also, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that unto him against that day. If I was to go back in verse number 1, Paul says something about our salvation. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. He said our salvation, this life that we have is promised. Amen. It's a promised salvation. I thank God that my salvation is not resting on some church deed or some church constitution. My salvation is not resting in my good works. My salvation is not resting in some pool of water somewhere. But my salvation this morning is rested on the promises of God. And I know that my salvation was promised in Christ before the world was formed. I thank God for a salvation based upon the promises of God's word. My salvation's promise. Let me say this. It's not according to my works. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, he says, for by grace are you saved. That and of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said down here in verse number 9, Paul said right here in this chapter, he said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Not my salvation. Listen, not only is it promised, but it's promised of Jesus Christ, not of me. Are y'all all right? My salvation has nothing to do with my works. Listen, my salvation does work, but my salvation is not by work. Right. Amen. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 3:5. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not of works that we have done. Thank God our works do not earn our salvation. Our works, like Brother Eric taught this morning, our works don't earn our salvation, but our works express our salvation. They're proof that we've been saved. Let me say, not only is my salvation promised, but my salvation is purposed. Watch verse 9. He said, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Can I say my salvation was no accident? Can I say you wasn't saved? You wasn't saved by happen chance. Can I say you were saved because a divine, holy God, hey, sent his son to the cross some 2,000 years ago, and he planned that he would go to the cross, hey, before the world was formed, and the Bible said in Revelation, hey, that he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It's no accident. Hey, can I just say your salvation wasn't plan B? Some people think, well, God was going to do this, but the men wouldn't do this, and people wouldn't do this, so God decided to look up in here. Hey, listen, Calvary was plan A. That was God's plan. That was God's divine plan. Hey, our salvation was purposed. Listen, it was purposed that whosoever believeth on the name of the Son of God shall be saved. Amen. It was purposed that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's that God purposed that when he put his own son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, he purposed that his blood would pay for and take care of the sin debt of every lost man, woman, boy, and girl so that nobody had to go to hell if they called upon the name of the Lord. If they called on the name of the Lord. My salvation was promised, it's purposed in grace. Grace is the unmerited favor. Grace is that, hey, I could not work my way, but God, hey, poured out the benefits of his salvation in Christ to my life. Let me say this, not only that, but my salvation was purchased. Verse 10, he says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Can I say, I thank God for Calvary? A lot of people look at Calvary and think about the atrocity of Calvary. Can I say I thank God for the victory in Jesus that we have from God? Jesus said on John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. To tell us die. He cried out from the cross, to tell us die, it's finished. Listen, that wasn't I give up. That wasn't it's over. That was, hey, the victory's won. That's, hey, the price has been paid. That's, hey, death, sin, and hell have been conquered. I've taken care of your sin debt. Thank God my salvation was purchased. Amen. Telling my wife, I used to work with a lady, and she used to say that everybody, no matter how good of a Christian was, when you died, everybody had to go to hell. She said everybody would go to hell and pay for a little bit of their sin. And once their sin that they hadn't confessed yet was taken care of, then they got to go to heaven. And I thought, my goodness, what kind of hope is that? What kind of assurance is that? I don't know where they got that. Somebody made that note, but they didn't get it out in the Bible. I'm glad my salvation was purchased, not by my works, not by my blood, not by anything I've ever done. But at Calvary, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ spread his arms, said, I love you this much, laid down his life, shed his blood, and he suffered it all because he loved me. Amen. Thank God my salvation was purchased. Can I just say this? Salvation was not partially purchased. It was completely purchased. There's a lot of people says, well, Jesus, he put a down payment on and you got to work your way in. Hog wash. Amen. Can I just simply say, hog wash. He paid it all or he didn't pay it at all. Amen. I'm glad the songwriter had it right. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Thank God he purchased my salvation. Can I say this about my salvation? Let me say something about salvation. It's a personal salvation. My salvation is personal. Can I just simply say, just because mama and papa is a Christian don't mean you are. Just because mom and daddy saved don't mean you are, son, daughter. Hey, listen, just because your kids are saved, mom and daddy, don't mean you are. Just because your grand youngins came to church, rode the bus and got saved, don't mean grandma and grandpa's getting in. You ain't riding nobody's coattail through the pearly gates, amen. Listen, hey, Paul said in verse 12, he said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. That's personal. Yeah, come on now. Salvation is a personal thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a personal thing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's personal. Don't sit on a church pew and think just because your family's a good Christian family and you was raised up in the South and you got a good Christian heritage and a goodly heritage, don't think you're going to heaven just because mom and daddy goes to church. Can I help you out? Nobody's going to heaven just because your mom and daddy goes to church. Mom and daddy ain't going to heaven because they go to church. There's a lot of people who goes to church is going to hell. Amen. If you ain't been to Calvary, you're going to hell. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. Salvation is a when did you personally trust Christ? I'm not asking you when you went to church and got baptized. I'm not asking you when you went to church and signed a car. I'm not asking you when you made a commitment. I'm not asking you when you was confirmed. I'm not asking you when you was sprinkled. I'm not asking you when your name was written on the church roll. What I'm asking you is when did you meet Jesus Christ personally? Salvation. I know whom I have believed. When did you? Listen to me. Salvation. Salvation is a personal. Can I say salvation is not in a list of rules? Salvation is in a relationship with a person. I could go on. I think I might. I have a personal, shake my hand. I have a personal relationship with my wife that none of the rest of y'all have. She is my wife. I made a commitment to her. Before God and before witnesses. She made a commitment to me before God and witnesses. I made that commitment to no other. She made that commitment to no other. That's a personal commitment that we have with one another. Can I say similarly, salvation is the same way. Just because I'm committed to my wife doesn't mean that Eric's committed to his wife. Or Robbie's committed to his wife. Or Darren's committed to his wife. Listen, this commitment's between me and her. Can I say just because I'm committed and I've committed my life to Christ and because I have believed on him, just because I believed on him don't mean you've believed on him. Right. Just because your mama believed on him don't mean you believed on him. Right. Just because you believed on him don't mean your sister believed on him. Just because your preacher believed on him don't mean you believed on him. Right. Just because you went to a church where 99 out of 100 people believed on him. Listen, I'm telling you salvation is a personal matter. I'm glad salvation is not earned, but it can be enjoyed. Amen? I know something about my salvation. I don't understand why he saved me, but I know how he saved me. Are you with me? Listen, I'll never understand why he looked at me as unworthy as I was and said, I'm going to give my perfect, spotless, blemishless, only begotten son. I'm going to give him for that one. I'll never understand why. But I'll know one thing. I know it wasn't because of anything I'd done. I know it's all because of what Jesus Christ done. And I thank God for my... Listen, I know something about my salvation. And listen, can I say the Church of Christ water dogs can come tell me I got to be baptized? I ain't letting go of what I know. Y'all all right? The JWs can come and tell me I got to work my way and I got to be a good... Listen, I ain't letting go of what I know. Y'all all right? Hey, you can start telling me... Hey, listen, I'm not letting go of what I know. There's some things I do. This part right here I know pretty good. And I like it, Brother Robbie. And that encouraged me in them dark days. Can I say something not only about my salvation, but can I say I know something about my security? My security. There's a lot of people that's got to get hold of this truth. Watch what Paul said in verse 12. Not only did he say, I know whom I believe, but he said, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am fully convinced. I am very confident in this matter. Not only in myself. He said, listen, Paul didn't say, I'm persuaded in myself. He said, I'm persuaded that he is able. That Christ, that God is powerful. He's able. He's mighty. He's strong enough to keep that which I have committed. Paul said, I have committed something. That is, I have deposited. Paul said, I have deposited my faith. I have deposited my life into the trust of Christ. I've put it all in him. And he said, I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed. The word keep is a good word. I might just pause and preach for about 2 hours right here. He said he's keeping me. The word keep, it means to keep or to guard or to take care of someone or something. It is to have an eye upon someone, to keep someone safe. Watch this. To keep someone from being snatched away. Are y'all catching on to this? There's a lot of people says, well, you can be saved, but, you know, you're going to mess up and you're going to sin and the devil's going to pull you away and you're going to lose your salvation. If it's your salvation, you ought to lose it because what you need is his salvation. Hey, Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. David said in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, it's not mine to lose. It's his. He gave it to me. Watch. But he's able to keep that which I've committed. He's guarding me. He's keeping me. And he's keeping anybody from snatching me. He's not. Somebody said over in John 10, 28, Jesus said, I know them. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And he talked about, no man can take them out of my hand. He talks about his Father's hand. John 10, 28, he said, no man can snatch them or take them out of my Father's hand. I heard somebody say, well, nobody can take you, but you can take yourself out. Well, why in the name of God would you want to do that? Well, let me ask you this. That don't even make good sense. That saying is you're more powerful than God. He's guarding you. He's keeping you. He's got the safe. He's got a lock on you. You're his. You were sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Watch this, he's able to keep us. He's keeping us from being snatched away. He's keeping us in his presence. He's keeping us safe and unimpaired. He's keeping us, he is guarding us from being lost. He is protecting us from a person or a thing. Can I say Satan can throw all the darts and hurl all the fire stones that he wants to me, and he can come at me and he can cast all his, but I thank God, hey, in the midst of the greatest storm when he's throwing the biggest darts my way, I've got a God that's keeping me. I've got a God that's taking care of me. I've got a God that's protecting me. Oh, I may get some scars in this life, but he'll never get the real me on the inside. Thank God he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. My security. Can I say, if you're saved, he's able to keep you. Amen. Can I say something I know about my security? Let me say this. My security is not based on me. My security is based on him. He's able to keep. He's able to keep. Can I say this? I know something about my Savior and I'm not letting go. Over in verse number 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Our Lord. Not of us, of the church, of our Lord. He said, down in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Watch this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Verse 12 talks about, he said, I know whom I have believed. Hey, listen, in verse number 1, he says, the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 9, he said, he's the one who saved. He said, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. And he goes on down through there, talks about his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And in verse 10, he says, it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. Can I say that the Savior's personal? He's our Savior. And can I say he's the only Savior? John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Can I say, you're not coming in any other way? He talked about in John 10, he said, anybody that tries to climb up any other way, get any other way, he says, he's a thief and a robber. Hey, can I say, you're not coming in the Methodist way? You're not coming in the Baptist way? You're not coming in the Presbyterian way? You're not coming in the Catholic way? You're not coming in the Mormon way for sure? You're not coming in the Jehovah's Witness way? You're not coming in the Pentecostal way? Hey, listen, are you listening to me? Hey, you're not coming in the Brethren way or the Mennonite way or the Amish way? You're not coming. Listen, you're not coming in the American way. You're not coming in the best way. Listen, you're coming in the only way or you ain't coming in. Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. He's not a Savior of the world. First Timothy, I'll just flip back to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and I'll read you a verse. He said, if I can find it, he said he's the Savior of the world. I can't find it right off, but he said especially to them that believe. He's the Savior of the world, especially them that believe. In other words, his blood, his Savior, he's the Savior of the world if they would believe. Are y'all all right? His blood, when he shed his blood and gave his life, it was good enough for everybody. But it will not be experienced by everybody. Only those who call and believe on his name. But can I say he's the only way? There's not going to be some people, and I know there's some, you, I don't know what y'all call them, but Billy Graham's wrong, all right? And anybody else that believes that, well, those people in the jungles, you know, if they're sincere, you know, and they believe in what they believe. They might not believe in Jesus Christ, but if they're sincere in what they believe, that God will do right and he'll let them in heaven. Now, can I just say hogwash? Y'all all right? There's only one name that we're given among men. There's only one name given among men whereby under heaven, hey, whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Hey, listen, there is no other way. That, listen, there is no other way. Are y'all all right? There is no other way. And listen, you can be as sincere as you want, but you may be sincerely wrong. There's a lot of people sincere. I don't doubt that the Muslim who got in the airplane and flew into the side of the World Trade Tower, I'm sure he was sincere. But I tell you this morning, he's sincerely burning in hell. He was wrong. Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death? Who abolished death? There's only one. There's only one person that went to the cross and paid for your sin. There's only one person that ever died and was buried and 3 days later, hey, by the power of the Holy Ghost, got up from the grave, he arose and conquered death and said, I don't need these grave clothes anymore. I'm coming out and I'm coming out to stay because I'm alive and alive forevermore. There's only one. Muhammad's in the grave. Hare Krishna's in the grave. Joseph Smith in the grave. Brigham Young in the grave. Charles Russell's in the grave. Are y'all all right? But Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father this morning. He's alive and he's well. And he's doing just fine. Hey, I know something about my Savior. Can I say something? I know something about my Scriptures. I'm trying to hurry. I know something about the Scriptures. Look down. Look down in verse number 13. Paul said this. He said, hold fast. He's telling Timothy, his son of God, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ. That's the form of sound words. That is the pattern of sound words. That is the body of faith. That is the word of God. And watch verse 14. That good thing. He said that good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't an all right thing. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He's talking about the Scriptures. He's talking about the Word of God. If you go over into chapter number 3, he says something about the Word of God. He says in verse 14 of chapter 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing, not hoping so, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He said, hold on to those things. Don't let nobody take them away from you. Hold on to those sound words, that word of God, that good thing that's been given to you. Hold on to it. Don't let nobody go. Hey, you may not understand all of it. There may be people coming trying to revise it. There may be people coming trying to water it down. There may be people trying to critique it and tell you this part's wrong. But he said, you hold on to that good thing. Don't let nobody have your Bible. Tell them to get their stinking feet out of your drinking water. Tell them to get out of your trough. That's your food. That's what's more necessary than your daily food. You need the Word of God. It's the Word of God that saves you. It's the Word of God that will help you to grow. It's the Word of God that will help you to grow strong. It's the Word of God that will stabilize you and give you a strong footing to face the trouble you're in today. Hey, I know something about my Scripture. Stay away from my Bible. Stay away from my Bible, Sondervan. Stay away from my Bible, Nelson Publishers. Are y'all all right? Hey, it's my Bible. It's the Word of God. It's not the Word of man. We don't need your everyday revisions. We don't need a new edition. Hey, that old King James been getting the job done. Hey, man, and that's all we need. Thank God for my Bible. Thank God for sound doctrine. He said that form of sound words, the pattern, not only the Bible itself, but the teachings of the Bible. That sound doctrine, that sound word, that is, those, it's healthy to me. Can I say when they start corrupting my doctrine, those things that I've been taught, hey, when they start coming in, hey, listen, I don't need that. I don't understand all that. Hey, listen, can I just say I don't need all that stuff. Somebody said, well, I come up with something new. If you come up with something new now, I don't want none of it. I don't want none of it. We're too far along in the race to come up with something new. Well, we've never done it this way. There's probably a good reason. Nobody's ever seen this, but I saw it. Red flag. Listen, I'm not saying you can't learn something, but I'm saying, listen, when it comes to the body of truth, that doctrine, that the beliefs that we stand upon, the core fundamental doctrines that we stand on, listen, there's no need to trade them in. There's no need to change. Just hold on to what you got. That's what he's saying. Hold on to what you got. Stick with the stuff. Can I say something? I know something about the Spirit. And I'm not talking about the breath. And I'm not talking about my spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Watch verse number 6. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. That stirring up, it's the idea of fanning the flames on a fire. It's the idea of some coals, Brother Robbie, that's dwindling, a log that's been burning and it's just started turning gray and the ashes are on. He said, get your fan and stir it up. Fan that flame. Stir it up. Get that fire going again. He's trying to encourage Timothy. And he says, stir up that gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of being timid. A lot of Christians walk around, but I just don't want to hurt nobody's feelings and everything. I don't want to speak up for my faith. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but I'm afraid of what they might do. I'm afraid of what they might say about me if I take a stand for Christ. If I say that I'm a Christian, I just don't know what they'll do. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Watch this. But of power. Wow. That's the ability. That's that Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be. Now you might be, but you shall be witnesses. He's given you the spirit of power. That's the Holy Spirit. He's got the power. He's the dunamis. He's the power. He's given us the spirit of power and of love. You don't have to go around hate. There's a lot of people that says their religion's right, but their religion is a religion of hate. They're a religion of force. They're gonna force you to believe what they believe, or they're gonna kill you because they hate the infidels. Are y'all all right? Your government don't want you to know this, but they're gonna kill you. Y'all all right? The Muslims are not a religion of peace. It's a religion of hate and force. Let me ask you a question, ladies, look up here, ladies. Which of you ladies would choose to wear a rag wrapped around your head so only your eyes could show, and a robe all the way down to your feet all year long? How many of y'all would volunteer and say, I'd just love to do that? You know why them ladies do it? It ain't because they love to do it. It's because they know if they don't do it, they're going to be beat. Okay, listen to me. Why would anybody wrap a bomb around them and go blow up theirself Man, they've been so brainwashed. They've been, are y'all all right? Man, they pump it in their heads, man. Kill the, if they're not a Muslim, kill the Jews. Kill the infidels. Get them to help you out. When they talk about killing the infidels, they talking about you. Somebody said, well, all Muslims aren't terrorists. No, but they're about as kin to one as a sow is to a pig. Somebody asked me this week, are you for stereotyping? I said, I don't know what you want to call it, but if some dude walks in this barbershop and he's got his head wrapped in a towel and he's wearing a robe, I'm going to be real suspicious and watch what I'm doing. Y'all call it what you want to call it. I don't know how I got on that. Our religion, our Christianity, we have not been given a spirit of hate. We've been given a spirit of power and of love.
Right.
Love. Listen, number one, we love God. The Bible talks about that we have love. Hey, we've been given love by the Holy Ghost, which is shed abroad in our hearts. That's where we got our love, by the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost, he's the Spirit of God, he's shedding love abroad in your heart. Listen, you've got the ability to love God the way you ought to. You can't love God the way you ought to without the Spirit of God in you. We love him because he first loved us. Listen, the Spirit of God is in you to help you love the Savior. The Spirit of God will help you love the saints. Can I say there's a lot of Christians that, hey, Brother Robbie, they may be saved, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Without the Spirit of God, it'd be hard to love some of them. I'm just being honest with you. There's some people that I know that I'm being honest with you. In my flesh, I'm just being honest. Listen, it's the preacher's day to be transparent, all right? Stephanie, is that all right if the preacher just tells everybody? Can I be honest? Listen, there's some people that the preacher in his flesh would just soon not be around. I'm talking about Christians. Listen, I'm talking about them ones that look like they took a bath in lemon juice. Y'all all right? And every other word is, nah, we can't, we don't, we ain't, we never. You know, I'm just being honest with you. But the Spirit of God will help you love them people. The Spirit of God will help you to love the saints. But let me say this, the Spirit of God will help you love sinners. There's a lot of people that they love going to church. They love having a good time with the people at church, but they wouldn't dare knock on somebody's door and tell them about Jesus. They wouldn't dare tell somebody else how to escape the eternal fires of hell. You know why? Because they don't love sinners. If you really thought that the person across your street was going to hell and you really loved them, you'd go warn them. There's people in Walnut Cove that's going to hell. And they need somebody to love them. They need somebody to knock on their door. They need somebody to love them enough to get up on Saturday morning, go knock on doors, or Tuesday nights, or Monday nights. Listen, whenever you can go, they need somebody to go and tell them. Hey, there's people across the office at work that need somebody to drop a gospel track on their table. But, hey, listen, there's people that need to see the love of God. Listen, it may not always be preaching. Sometimes it'll be meeting their need. Hey, listen, Brother Eric, he got on some of my preaching this morning in his Sunday school lesson, but it's easy to say, hey, I love you, brother, and walk off. But when you see that brother in need, you say you love him, you ought to show him you love him. If you see somebody and they're in need and they ain't got food for their youngins, and you say I love them, buy their youngins a hamburger. If you see some bus kids come in there and they ain't got no clothes, and you say, oh, we love them, we want our church. Listen, if you love them, take them to lunch. And then take them by Walmart and buy them a shirt. Hello? Oh, we ain't never done that picture. Well, it's a good time to start. I know something about my spirit. Listen, he gives me a sound mind. That's self-control and discipline. That's the ability to live the Christian life. Let me say this. Not only does he give me a power, love, and sound mind, but he's permanent. Watch verse 14. He says, by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Dwelleth in us. That is, hey, listen, when I got saved, Mark, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of me. Now, he don't just come on me. He's not just around me and with me, but now he's in me. Amen. And he's in me to stay. Thank God. I know something about that permanent presence of the Holy Ghost. Hi, God. How you doing in there? Just being honest. I mean, that's, y'all laugh. It's just like, hey, real. Hey, how you doing in there? How's it going? You live your life because he's in there. You ought to live your life with that in mind. He's in there. If you're saved, he's in there. Let me say something. I know something about the saints. I ain't got time. Y'all going to get mad? Listen, I thought this was going to be short. Hey, I know something about the saints that I'm not letting go. Verse 3, Paul said, I thank God, whom I served my forefathers, pure conscience, without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee day and night. He's talking about, he said, I remember the saints. I'm thankful. He said, I thank God for the saints. He said, I remember your saints. And then in verse 5, he's talking about Lois and Eunice. He's talking about Timothy's mom and grandmother. He's talking about how he remembers them. And he's talking about being joyful in them. He's talking about, in verse 4, I may be filled with joy. And then down in verse number 16 through 18, he talks about a fellow named Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus evidently was a fellow that had been saved. Maybe he was in one of the churches that Paul had ministered in. And when Paul was in prison in Acts 28 in Rome, here comes Onesiphorus and he comes ministering to Paul. And Paul begins to remember this faithful saint who had served him and who had encouraged him in his time of doubt, in his time of discouragement, in his time of despair. He's remembering Onesiphorus. How'd you like to have a name like that? How'd you like to have to spell that in school? Sir, what's your name? Onesiphorus. Can you spell it for me? No, help yourself. You're the teacher. But Onesiphorus was a blessing to the man of God. Onesiphorus encouraged his preacher. And Paul, his name means prophet-bearing or prophet-bring. His name, when he comes, he's bringing prophet. He's bringing some encouragement. He's bringing some help along. And Paul talked about in verse 18 how he ministered to him. Listen, I don't know everything about Onesiphorus. I don't know exactly when he died and how he died and everything. Some people say that maybe he died because of his cause with Christ right here in about the same time Paul did. I don't know all about that, but I know this: in his life he was an encouragement to the man of God, and Paul was thankful for some saints. Let me say, there's some saints in your life that you ought to be thankful for. Listen, in your time of discouragement, in your time, listen, you ought to be able to look around and say, hey, there's some saints of God. There's some people I go to church with. They're an encouragement to me. And when you remember them and you start remembering, hey, you may be in a dark valley, and you start remembering, well, I remember when God met their need. And I remember when they got saved. And I remember, y'all all right? And you get thankful. And then, hey, when you start getting thankful and remembering, that joy starts to well up because of the saints. Can I say this? If you would rather be with anybody else than these people right here, there's probably something wrong in your life. It ought to be a joy to you. Listen, my wife will tell you, Hey, I'd rather be around my church family than my real family. Honestly, I'd rather hang out with you. My wife will tell you, she says, sometimes I'd rather be at church every day with you folks. It's my life. It's my joy. The saints encourage you. I know something about my standards. I'm not letting go. There's a lot of people letting their standards go. They're throwing their standards to the... I'm talking about convictions. I'm talking about there's a right, there's a wrong, there's a black, there's a white. This is right, this is wrong. Nowadays, nobody's like, no, nothing's wrong. I know something about my standards. Watch verse 5. Paul said this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul's talking about he has joy when I recall the unfeigned. That word unfeigned has the idea that it's sincere, it's unimpaired, it's not fake. There's a lot of people that with their lips they're saying, oh, how I love Jesus, but with their life they're saying, oh, how I love Satan. Say, preacher, not me. But I'm just going to be honest with you. Why don't people go to church? Why does women run around naked as a jaybird? Why do you listen to the music you listen to? Has nothing to do with God. It's about bar hopping and drinking and womanizing and putting all kinds of filthy thoughts in your mind. Help me now. Where's their standards? Why don't a man look like a man and a woman look like a woman anymore? Where have we ever gotten off on the day where we're going to argue and say that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman? How stupid are we? Where's our standards? The Bible is true. The principles and the truths of the Word of God, they're not changed for you. They're not changed at your house. They're not changed at the White House. And they sure enough are not changed at the church house. Preacher, you preaching mean. I'm preaching the truth. Unfeigned. Now listen, it's sincere. And let me say, Paul's talking about when he looks at Timothy, he's talking about how in Lois and Eunice their life matched their lips, and he's saying, your life matches your lips. He said, I'm convinced, Timothy. He said, I'm convinced that your love for God leads to your life living for God. Can I say there's a lot of people, listen to me. I'm not going to give you a list. Your preacher will never give you a list of things that you need to do and things you don't need to do. That's Judaism. That's law keeping. But I'm going to say this. If you love God like you say you love God, and if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ like you say you love them, it ought to affect the way you live around them. Let me just be real practical. Ladies, if you love the brethren in this church, if you love the men in a Christ-like love, you ought not tempt them in the way you dress. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about in everyday life. Y'all all right? Everybody wants to argue and say, oh, the men shouldn't look at a woman with lust and the men shouldn't have bad thoughts. No, they shouldn't. But ladies, you ought not. Hey, listen, you ought not show it to them. Let me just put it real frank. If it ain't for sale, take it off the shelf. Where's their standards? Where's their standards? And men, that goes for you too. Nobody wants to see your two hairs that you taped on this morning. Right now, I wasn't talking about the ones on your head. I'm sorry. Listen. I'm just saying. You say, preacher, you're old fashioned. You better believe it. Listen, I know something about these standards, and I ain't letting them go. Listen, I'll make you a promise. Hey, listen, mom and daddy, I'll make you a promise. With the help and the grace of God, your youngins will never see their preacher running around half naked. You all right? I don't care if we're in a swimming pool. Somehow everybody's standards change when they get around a body of water. Y'all all right? I feel like preaching this morning, all right? I feel like preaching. Listen, if you got to go, go. We're going to preach. We may not even have church tonight, but I'm going to preach. I'm going to unload. I've known a lot of people. I have never, listen to me. Honest to God, I don't know that, and I don't know about anybody in here. I don't know what y'all do. But I've went to church with people in the past that, Brother Rodney, I've never had a man and a wife ask me over to dinner. I have never had one of them ask me over to their house for supper. And when I got there, his wife was sitting there in her skibbies or underwears. I've never, not once. But I got on a boat with somebody I went to church with one time, and we got on that boat and got out in the middle of the water, and about that time, there she sat. Are y'all all right? I said, preacher, well, you got to go naked in the... No, you ain't. No, you ain't. You can have a good time. You can have some standards and still have a good time. Y'all all right? But a little bit of water changes everything. I'm just going to put down where the rubber meets the road. Hey, listen. The Bible teaches that your thigh is nakedness. It's a shame. Can I say Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame? Part of the shame that he bore on the cross of Calvary was that they stripped him from his clothes. He hung there naked. Beat, yeah, slaughtered, basically tormented. Yeah, but part of the shame was that he was humiliated. You remember, I don't know how I got on all this. It's summertime. Hey, listen, you remember in the Garden of Eden when God created man, he created Adam and Eve, and he created them in a state of innocence, and see? They were covered with, I believe, the glory of God. But then they sinned against God, and they saw themselves as they were. They saw themselves naked. They made themselves. They went and got and made themselves aprons of fig leaves. They got leaves and put them together, and they made themselves aprons. Y'all all right? But guess what? When God came to them, they were still considered naked. There's a lot of people that thinks they're clothed because they got a little bit of strip around here. And I'm being honest with you. Just because you got a little strip on don't mean you clothed. I'm just simply saying, hey, just stop and think about it. Ladies, stop and think about it. When you get dressed, I don't care if it's to go to work, to go to church, or to go to the swimming hole. When you get your clothes on, how is it going to make that man that you run into or face, how is it going to change the way he thinks of you? Hey, it's in the media, it's in the music. I'm not going home with you. I'm not going to follow you around. I'm simply telling you, stop and think about what you're doing. Where's our standards? Where's our standards? Listen, if you don't have a standard, the old country song even said, if you got to stand for something or you fall for anything. I know something about my standard. Listen, you got some standards, you got some convictions. Listen, Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, I know they was in your grandmother, I know they was in your mom. Three generations, he said, y'all have had these standards. It's three generations of genuine Christianity. They didn't just say it, but they lived it. Three generations. That's not hypocrisy. That's real. Can I ask you a question? Why should we start questioning and critiquing the way we do church now? The standards, let me just say the standards in church. Well, we've been old-fashioned for years, preacher, but we don't need them old hymns. We don't need that King James. Hey, what we need is a rock band. What we need is a circus in the church to draw a crowd. Can I help you out? We ain't never having a circus to draw a crowd. We ain't never having a rock concert in New Hope as long as this preacher's here. We have 5 or 500. Hey, we're going to stick with the old-time ways. I know something about my standards. Let me say this. I know something about suffering. You say, suffering? How's that going to encourage me? Well, in verse number 8, he says, be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Listen, if you've turned me out, tune me back in real quick. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions. He's encouraging Timothy to be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Say something about suffering that will encourage you. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, I'm not talking about when you stub your toe. I'm talking about when you're persecuted, when you undergo afflictions for your stand for Christ, you are partaking in the sufferings with the Lord. I'm talking about your suffering because of the gospel. You're not alone. You're with Him. You are accounted a partaker of Him. I don't have time to go over into Peter and James. Look at all the verses. Talks about suffering for the cause of Christ as a Christian. As a child of God, you are partaking. But let me say that when you are partaking in His suffering, in His affliction, He supplies power for you through those sufferings. There's not a one of you that's going through suffering. There's not a one of you that's going through affliction that's walked with God and held your head up and walked through those things. And when you come out on the other side, you could say, oh, I did it all by myself. No, when you come out on the other side, you say, it was by the power of God that He gave me, that He got me through that trial. And you know, hey, listen, there's not one of you that says in the midst of that trial, He let me down. Because if you're going in a trial, I'm telling you, God's good. He's going to bring you through that trial. He's going to help you. He'll give you the power along the way. Listen, and that power is given, He says, according to the power of God. God gives us power. Then he says something about his service. In verse number 3, Paul said, I thank God whom I serve for my forefather. Verse 11, he said, where am I? I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of God. Can I say something right quick? I know something about my service and I ain't letting go. I know something. Listen, I know something that I serve God. I don't serve myself. Though I serve you indirectly, when I serve you, I'm doing it to serve God. And can I say, you say, well, that's just, listen, I'm a preacher, called to be a preacher, no doubt about that. But I want to say, you ought to be thankful to serve. You say, I'm not a God called priest. The word appointed there in verse number 11, it means to be set or to be put or to be placed in a place of service. Can I say this? You may never be a God called preacher. You may never be the pastor of a church. But if God saved you and made you a member of a local church, He's put you there and He's placed you there to serve Him. He didn't put anybody on a church pew to sit soaking sour. He put you there to serve. And He's placed you there. And let me say, He's got a place for you and He's got you for the place. And He's got you there to serve. God has placed you where He's placed you for His purpose. God's got a reason for you to be at New Hope Baptist Church this morning. God's got a reason for you, hey, as you're part of this church. God's got, hey, listen, it's not here to just come in, soak up the breath and to feel the air conditioning. Listen, no. He's got you here to do something. He's got the preacher, yeah, he's supposed to preach, but everybody's supposed to serve God. You can serve God. It don't matter if you're taking out the trash. Listen, this preacher's taking out trash. Listen, I'm not too good to take it. Listen, you can take out trash and serve God. Listen, you can sweep the floor serving God. You can vacuum the floor serving God. You can, hey, change baby diapers serving God. Fix food serving God. You can do, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of different ways. Everybody wants their name on the sign. Listen, everybody's name's not going to be on the sign. Everybody's not going to have their name in the newspaper. Everybody's not going to be in the limelight. But everybody can serve God. And everybody ought to serve God. Can I say, these are just a few things that I know. I've got to let you go, but I'm not letting go of these. Amen? They're going to call me Pharaoh if I don't let God's people go. But listen, there's some things, Brother Robbie, that I know that I ain't letting go. And in times of doubt and in times of discouragement, in times of despair, these are the things that I'm going to hold on to. And I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord, and I'm going to look back at these things. I'm going to look at my salvation. I'm going to look at my security. I'm going to look at my Savior. I'm going to look at the Spirit of God. I'm going to look at the Scriptures. I'm going to look at the saints. I'm going to look at the suffering that I go through. I'm going to look at my times of service and the way God has allowed me to serve. And those things are going to encourage me. And I'm going to hold on to those things, and I'm just going to go with what I know. There's a few things I know. There's a few other things I can say. I know something about my song. I got a new song. I was given a new song by my Savior. Amen. My old song died out. I got a new song. He put a new song in my heart. Praise to his name. I got a shout. He put a shout in me. Amen. Y'all all right? He put a shout in me. He put a shout in my heart and in my lips. Amen. He gave me something to get excited about. I don't have to go to hell. Amen. Hey, I don't have to go to hell. I'm going to heaven when I die. Give me a shout. Give me something to shout about. Listen. Amen. Thank God. There's some things, Miss Haley, you come on the piano. There's some things that I know that I ain't letting go. I just want to encourage you this morning. Listen, there's some things you don't know. There's some things you may never understand this side of eternity. But the things that we do know, they'll help you along as we go. God help us as we go not to let go of what we know. Father, in Jesus' name, God help us this morning. God, encourage Christians. God, save souls that need to be saved. God, have your will and way. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The pianist is playing.